to the Six Side Culture Podcast. Once again, I'm joined by Danny, and Richette is out of today's episode again. But Dan, what's up, bro?
Not much. You, Rand?
I'm doing pretty good. I finally won a game after a while. I know, Dan, you're probably on the opposite side of the spectrum here this week, which is unusual for you this year. So you haven't had too many of these. I don't think you will anyway, so you guys wasn't good this year. But you know what happens. You can't win every game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm used to be on that end, so don't worry. Yeah, Richette's out today. He's got some stuff to do. But, yeah, myself and Dan, will carry this pod. And I guess we'll start off the Serie A. We had some great matches this weekend in the Serie A. We had the Champions League that took place as well. It's been a great week of Calcio, unless you're a Juve fan. It wasn't the greatest performance against Chelsea, but we'll get into that later on. But just to start off, speaking of Juve-Lazio, a game that I think most people were really excited for going into the weekend, a long international break, and, you know, just come back after a tough international break for Italian to see all these good games coming up. And he saw Juve-Lazio. I'm sure many people had that one, you know, circled on their calendar. I know I did. And it was, it wasn't a crazy game, but it was a good game. You know, both sides kind of looked stagnant for a while. Lazio, to be honest, I'm surprised because they usually win against Juventus, which shocked me. They didn't create as much as they usually do. You know, Lazio's been pretty creative this season in the midfield and attack. And this game, they did well maintaining the ball and controlling the midfield, which, you know, against Juve, controlling the midfield is something that's a given at this point. You know, the midfield's not the strongest, and I think Lazio did a good job of that. But when it came to finding the back of the net, they couldn't. Juventus, Bonucci, who scored two penalties. I believe last podcast we talked about who should replace Jorginho, and I don't know if you said Bonucci too then, but I remember I said Bonucci. I'd really like to see him take them for the Azzurri, and he proved why. He kind of backed me up here. Two penalty goals from him. He's very composed, and even though he's a center back, you know, you don't really have to be a, you know, a Maradona to take a penalty. You've got to be calm, know how to handle pressure and pick a corner and try and, you know, get it the best you can. And yeah, Bonucci took two nice penalties, and Juve got the win. It's been a rough year for Juve, obviously, we all know, but a win against Lazio is very good, especially because I feel like recently Lazio has been a kryptonite to Juventus. You know, they've really done well against Juve in the past, so to see them fall short, it's something new last couple of years, but at the same time, I'm not surprised because Juve is Juve, and they can always pull out a win, especially when you have a manager like Allegri who is pretty good at making the game boring and finding a way to win. So they did their job and they got the win. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, no, they got the win. It's a big win for them, especially because I think their goal now, no, a few Juve fans we've talked to, their goal now is to just make it to top four. They're in the, pardon me, the quote-unquote rebuilding stage. There's still a lot of pieces. Bonucci, yeah. So back to Bonucci. He proved that he should be taking penalties for the Azzurri. Two penalty goals, perfectly placed. No chance for Pepe Reina to save them. But going back to, I believe it was the second penalty where Chiesa just created that from absolute, like, typical Chiesa things, just running hard runner, good dribbler. Big mistake by Pepe Reina coming out, getting beat by Chiesa, and then coming back, trying to make a tackle, ends up getting Chiesa. Got a little bit of the ball, but it was mainly the player, so it's always going to be a penalty. Bonucci stepped up, placed it home perfectly in both the 23rd minute and the 83rd minute. It was good to see Bonucci scoring penalties as a Zuri fan, who's scared to when anytime Lazio gets penalties now. But maybe if Mancini was watching, he'll probably say, okay, maybe Bonucci should be the penalty taker. We'll see what happens when it comes to that in March. But going back to the Serie A standpoint, it's a big win for Juve, especially if they want to continue to progress to the top four. If they want to, quote unquote, maybe to some Juve fans, they could still think they could challenge for the Scudetto. So a win like this is always a great burn in the direction, sorry, a big step in the right direction. Lazio now, they're coming off a huge loss. We'll see what Lazio team shows up against Napoli on Sunday. There's still no word if Immobile might play, but I feel like if Immobile played this game, maybe Lazio could pop in a goal or two. He's just their vocal point, and without him, they kind of don't look like the same Lazio. They don't look like the same Lazio that a lot of fans expect them to be. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens Sunday, especially against Napoli. But as a Juve fan, this is a good win, especially in the league. We'll talk about Champions League later on in the podcast, but it's a good win in the league, and we'll see if they can build some momentum off of this.
Yeah, definitely. It was great for Juventus in Serie A terms. Obviously, we know overall they didn't build off of it, but yeah, it was great for Juve to get that win. Lazio, you know, they got some talent on the team. I'll be honest, you know, their attacking talent, midfield talent is pretty good, but at the same time, they're too inconsistent. I think we said that a lot in this podcast, and it's been the problem for many years. You know, they get these big results from time to time in a year. Maybe they'll beat Napoli, or they'll win the derby against Roma, or they'll beat Juventus or Inter, whatever, and then they'll go ahead and lose to a smaller club. So they got to find a way to build some more consistency, which, you know, it's easier said than done, but we'll see where they go from here after that loss to Juventus. Moving on, Fiorentina Milan. If you guys like goals, then you got them in this one. What a game. Obviously, to start right off, Fiorentina first half, 2-0 lead going into the second half. And I remember just thinking, okay, Milan, we've seen them bounce back a lot, specifically against Verona. That game where, who scored their own goal then? I don't know what that was, but
Gunter.
Yeah, Gunter. He it looks like he did
or
on purpose.
Or something.
Yeah, that was embarrassing, and it kind of reminded me of that game. I'm like, even though they're down, you know, Milan have come back quite a bit this year, so this game is far from over. And then Vlahovic made it 3, and I'm like, okay, this game's done. It's over. And by the way, shout out to Vlahovic. I love watching this kid. I always say it on this podcast. I've been saying it for like 2-3 years now. This kid is incredible, and he's got a bright future ahead of him, and maybe not even a bright future, a bright present, because I believe he's top goal scorer, or he's tied for top goal scorer. I could be wrong.
I think he's tied for.
I think he has 10. Huh. Yeah, I think he's tied with Immobile, if I'm not wrong. But yeah, great game from Vlahovic.
Yeah, he's tied with Immobile with both worth 10 points, 10 goals, yeah. I should say.
Yeah, so there you go. At this age, to be, you know, top goal scorer after 13 matches is very impressive. I believe he got 2 goals and an assist that game as well to Saponara. So, great performance from Vlahovic. And yeah, when he made it 3-0, I said, this game is done. And then in comes Zlatan, who said, nope, we're not going down about a fight. Zlatan puts away 2 in quick succession. I believe it was, 5 minutes in between each goal? I could be wrong. 5-6 minutes in between his 2 goals, which is incredible to make a, you know, an impact that quick. And he scored right after Vlahovic, by the way. So, like, he was upset, and he scored again. I'm like, okay, Milan's definitely going to win this game, and I saw that. Because the whole momentum, the whole tide just changed to Milan's side. I'm like, yeah, they're not going to lose. And then Vlahovic again, he silenced Ibra right after. Well, not right after, but later in the game, kind of put the nail in the coffin there. And then, yeah, from that point forward, the game was practically over. Obviously, Benuti got himself an own goal at the end, but the game was done at that point.
Yeah, just to make it a little more...
Yeah, make it more exciting. Why not add another goal to this goal fest? So, yeah, the game was already done, but he just, I guess, threw one in there to give Milan some false hope. And, yeah, that topped off a very good game. Yeah, he had the over. I want to make sure the bettors got their money, including himself, if you bet on this one. So, yeah. Great game to watch. Just felt like chance after chance, and both teams were really attacking with without really thinking about defense, to be honest. They were both leaving their defense exposed at times, just trying to, you know, push the attack. And, you know, I guess it makes sense because Fiorentina already aren't the best defensive team, and, you know, with Milan, when they're down 3-0, you got to attack. So I guess you just saw this one coming once Fiorentina had that lead. But, yeah, great match. Milan took their first loss of the year, which... you know what happens? I know fans, like, I'm sure, Dan, you were in the same boat after Napoli lost to Inter. When you go so long without losing in the league and you take that first loss, it stings really bad, but yeah. You also need to understand you're playing another professional team. It's not like you're playing, you know, some guys off the street. You're going to lose some games. You're going to win some. You can't win every game. It's tough. I don't think any team's ever done that in Serie A before. So, gone undefeated the whole year. So, I know Arsenal did in the Premier League, but, yeah, it's very hard to go undefeated the whole year. So you're going to lose some. It's all about how you bounce back. And I think that's what we're going to see with Napoli. You know, Napoli in the past, I know, Dan, you can say yourself, they've gone through some lulls after a big loss. Yeah. You know, they go on a streak. But this year, if they can bounce back, that means they're a different team. So the first loss is really where you see if a team can win the Scudetto or not. And same with Milan here. Milan last year, we saw they started really hot last year. And then a lot of injuries came into play, and they won this big lull, and they kind of bounced back towards the end. So we'll see how both these teams bounce back. But Dan, what do you think about the game?
Yeah, no, this was a crazy game. I was actually heading to work while the game was still going on. And when I saw it was 3-2, 3-1, I go, okay, that's just good, like 3-1. And then I see 3-2. I go, Fiorentina really going to blow it? Then I saw 4-2. I go, okay. More like confidence. Like, I was happy at the time. And then I saw 4-3. I go, yep, Fiorentina's going to blow it. Then, like, a few seconds later, the game ended. But I just want to talk about what a goal Zampagnaro scored. That was beautiful. Like, that was an incredible goal he scored. And the first goal was based off a Tananashalu mistake, which was, like, I was shocked to see that. But what a game this was. I was happy at the time that Milan took their first loss, but we later found out that Napoli lost too. So really the results canceled each other out. And it was a great game to watch if you're a neutral. And yeah, it was just a big win for Fiorentina, especially even though Fiorentina was a big win. Vlahovic, kid's impressive, man. Like, he's been impressive for the last few years. I wouldn't be surprised if in January a big team swoops him, but we'll see. He's been very good this season. He's been very good last season. And if Fiorentina can hold him and build around him, I feel like they can have a good team, especially when Gonzalez comes back. Italiano's a good coach. They're not an easy team at all. They're very pesky. They can cause a lot of problems for big teams, especially traveling to Florence to play, as it showed me for Milan. And also when we played them, they played us tough. But overall, it was a great win for Fiorentina. And Milan, we got to see what Milan side bounces back this weekend. They already bounced back in Champions League, if you guys watched the game today. So we'll see if they can continue that in the league and just continue putting pressure on Napoli. So we got to see if that's going to happen this week, because both games are big this week. And we'll just see what this does for Fiorentina down the line.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a big turning point in Milan's season. And, you know, obviously any loss is a negative, but I think it's also a positive because now you get to see it, what kind of team they are.
Yeah. And like, sometimes like in sports, you need a loss, kind of like what Napoli and Milan both suffered, just to put you back on the right track. And sometimes when you're really high up, you're first place, you haven't lost, you don't train as hard, you don't think about, oh, we might lose. Now you have that loss on with you, and it's going to make it'll probably bring the best out of some players, and then it'll just make you perform better, you make you train better, get you back on the right mentality, and push you to become better than the teams below you. So hopefully that's the case with Napoli. I know today was a different story, but I'll talk about that later on. It's a big match coming up against Lazio, and these games don't get easier. They get tougher and tougher, especially now with certain players. So we got to see what teams show up now.
Yeah, definitely. Well said, Dan. And speaking about, you know, something big that's happened in the Serie A, Fenet Gian from Roma. Roma-Genoa, I'm not really going to get into that match too much. You know, it was a kind of straightforward game. Roma dominated most of the game, and then Gian made the big impact at the end. So Mourinho, you know, he had Zaniolo, who, you know, we all know Zaniolo, what he can do. He's a very dangerous player, and he had him on the bench. And, you know, I think we all thought he was going to come in, and it looks like the game Zaniolo could really help then. But at the same time, not really, because they're really sitting back, and we all know Zaniolo is good in space when he's playing a bigger team, like kind of maybe like a Napoli or Inter or Milan, when they don't just park the bus the whole game and he has space to run. That's where we really see the best, you know, best out of Zaniolo. And Mourinho saw that, and he brought in Fenet Gian, who, it's not his first debut. I know most fans probably think it was because, you know, he's not really a big name. I don't blame you. But obviously, if you're on my family, saw him against Cagliari. He came in when we were 1-0 down, and we ended up winning that match 2-1. He didn't score or assist, but he did well in that game. He really changed the tide, was pressing, and yeah, he did well. I kind of paused there. I'm watching the NHL game. Toronto Maple Leafs scored, so.
Yeah, I
got distracted by that. But yeah, back to Finnegan. Yeah, he did well. He came in right up from the jump. You know, he saw kind of a difference in the pace of the game. I feel like general a little bit, maybe worried is the word I can use, because at that point in the game, when you're really tired, you've been defending for all that time, when there's a young 18-year-old who's fresh right off the bench coming in, it's going to cause a change in pace. And that's what happened. He started attacking him and pressing. And finally, Mkhitaryan, he had a very good game, probably man of the match, in my opinion. A lot of bad games in a row. He really bounced back here. He had a great game. And he ran half the pitch and found Gyan. And it looks like an easy finish, but, you know, when it's raining, the ball's all, you know, wet and really coming at you fast. Most players take maybe a touch to play it safe, but he hit it first time, low, crossed the keeper, and it went in, perfect shot, and it's a great moment for him. He ran to Mourinho, who we'll get into the shoes later on, but a great moment for him to score that one. And then, you know, the game's at the end. I think it was maybe like 20 seconds left, if I remember correctly. It's basically over. He's still pressing. And then he finds himself with the ball again, and I didn't think he'd take it. You know, he had space to run forward more, and this guy just launched a rocket into the top corner, far corner, and got his second of the game and started kissing the badge. So it was a great moment for him. I'm sure it means a lot for him to play for Roma, because Roma really trusted him. I knew Sassuolo wanted him to bring him in. He almost finished a deal with Sassuolo to join them, but then Roma came in with a better offer. Yeah, it was a great pickup for Roma to get him, and now that he's here, he can make an impact for us. I don't want him to start because, you know, people like to get hyped when these young guys score. Obviously, I get hyped too. I'm excited. I'm happy he scored, but don't get ahead of yourself. You know, it's only Genoa. It's one game. If he does this multiple times, then we'll start looking at something more than that. But, you know, for now, it's a great moment for him, and hopefully we just ease him, you know, slowly ease him. He's only 18. You have to remember that. Don't start, you know, throwing him in the starting lineup and all this stuff. But, yeah, it's a great moment for him, and then the day after, you go on social media and all you can see is that Mourinho buying him those Balenciagas. What a great moment. And in the post-game interview, Mourinho said, you know, he showed me the shoes that he wanted, and I told him, if you score, I'll buy them for you. And then he scored, and Mourinho's man of his word. He bought him the shoes, and yeah, it was a great moment for Gian and Mourinho, and just for the fans, because, you know, it's been a tough time being a Roma fan recently. We haven't won many games. We've had some disappointing displays. We lost 6-1 to Bodø/Glimt, and, you know, to have a moment like that was great, not only for himself, the club, but also the fans. So it was a great moment. What you think about it, Dan?
Yeah, no, it was awesome to see a kid like him come in, score two goals, especially to help Roma win the game. It's always a very great scenes. And it's good too for him too. It's confidence as well. I think like these games too can help a player, and sometimes you might have to rely on the youth. I know I say as a joke a lot on Monopoly Twitter, and especially in our group chat, I say, play the kids. But sometimes these kids, they're hungry to play. They want to prove to the coaches that they want to play. They want to prove to the fans that they have talent and stuff. And it's good, too, for the league, because it generates exposure to them. I know recently Esposito said that in Italy, they don't really trust the youth. They always send them to these lower leagues like Serie B, Serie C, Primavera, the 23s. In this case, Gyan, he came in and he performed well. He got two goals, proved to Mourinho, sorry, I'm distracted by the Leafs right now, but he's proved to them that he can play, and this kid can play. But I agree with what you said, and don't force him to start every game. Ease his way in. Bring him in some games. If, say, Roma are up and it's like 10 minutes left, just let him play, get some experience under his belt, and then you can probably potentially start him in a small game. Maybe likes against, like, Salernitana, Spezia, say. But it's good to see him scoring, and then also, too, for you, and like you said, like, there's been a lot of, like, disappointing result, and this result's a very good result for you guys, and it's a very touching moment for for the player as well, scoring two goals on I believe it's his second game in Roma colors. So very, very important game for him, and it could be an important win for Roma as well.
Yeah, it can be a turning point here. It can also just be a one-off, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. But hopefully we can make something happen and start a run here, because we really need one. And speaking about Napoli then, Inter Napoli, as a neutral fan, it was a great game to watch. I really enjoyed it. I really thought Mertens tied it up there at the end. His free back post. In my head, I'm like, Danny's about to just break his chair wherever he is and start celebrating as the ball is going towards him, because I saw no one was man-marking him. And yeah, you can't leave someone that wide open, but he wasn't able to capitalize. But also, he scored a beautiful goal before that, so you can't really, be too hard on him.
Yeah, I'm not too mad about the chances that we had, but yeah, let me just get into it.
Take it over, Dan. Let's hear it.
Yeah, we started off very well. The first 18 minutes, I want to say, we were... Even, 17, 18 minutes, it was 50-50. We played really well. Zielinski got that beautiful goal to start it off. And just from there, then all of a sudden, they get a penalty from a handball, which I'm not going to get into it. I didn't really think it was a true handball. Koulibaly's arm was tucked in. It hit his arm on the inside and on the outside. But they called it a penalty at the end of the day, so I had to live by it. And then just from that penalty on, we hit the shitters. Inter just took it to us. There was about a span of 40 minutes where we forgot how to play. And Inter took advantage of it. They scored two goals. A corner from Perisic, which was poor marking from us. Zielinski didn't cover the front post. And Perisic got a header from a very tight angle, Beto Spina. And then Martinez off a counterattack from Napoli. Beautiful run by Joaquin Carrera. I'm going to give him credit for that. It was a beautiful run to find Martinez, who finished it off beautifully. But the tracking back from Fabio Ruiz was questionable. I didn't really like the way he was tracking back. He got beat too easily. And then Mertens, from out of nothing, you can say a beautiful play by Koulibaly to win the ball back. Mertens grabbed it from, I want to say, maybe 3 yards out, put it in top corner, beautiful shot. And then all of a sudden from there, we started generating a lot of chances. Mirarui had a beautiful chance, which was saved by Handanovic. And then that Mertens chance, which at the time, off the volley was the right option. But thinking back, maybe he could have taken a touch and potentially placed it. But I'm not going to blame Mertens too much, because it was a hard chance. Anytime you hit off the volley, it's never guaranteed to go in. But a player of his quality, you kind of expect it to go in. But it was a very poor game from Napoli overall for the 40-minute span where Inter got that penalty to where we started generating a lot of chances. It just sucks now that Osimhen's out for potentially 3 months. Anguissa could be potentially out for a few weeks, or depending on his injury. And also, too, I just want to get into the refereeing decisions, too. I'm not going to just blame the referees, but I didn't really like the way the referee dictated the game. Both Koulibaly and Romani were booked off of first foul offenses, which kind of dictated how they played the game. They couldn't make challenges that they usually do because of in case they get a red card. But overall, I wasn't happy with the display from Insigne. I felt like he was very poor. Fabio Ruiz potentially had his worst game of the season. Mirarui was poor besides that one chance he had. I didn't really like the way those guys played, but Napoli need to improve. We have a big game coming up against Lazio. And I thought today against Spartak Moscow, we would have showed our bounce back, but we didn't. We played very poor until the second half. We played very poor. And I just hope this game doesn't lead to the Inter game doesn't lead to the annual funk, like what Fenchai would say. Hopefully this could be a different team, and I hope we can just beat Lazio, get back on the winning track. Because if without the key guys, say with Anguissa and Osimhen, it's gonna be a very tough game. Insigne is not even 100%. Apparently, I think they say he had something with his knee. I believe maybe inflammation in his knee or something like that. We need guys like Politano to come back. He's currently have COVID, so hopefully he can come back soon. Demme just tested negative, so that's a big sign. That's a big addition for us, getting him back. Hopefully he can play, because I'm not really sold on Loboka right now. He had a very poor game today. So hopefully we can get our guys back, and hopefully we could just weather the storm until guys like Ngisa and Osimhen come back. And we need guys like Batania to step up, Mertens to step up, Insigne to step up, and also need our players to step up and come back healthy and just get back on the winning ways.
Yeah, well said then. And yeah, like I already said before, a loss like this will be a big moment for Napoli to see what kind of team they are and if they can bounce back. Who do you play this weekend then?
Lazio.
Lazio, see, that's another big game right after the Inter one. So if Napoli can win that, then you shouldn't be worried. You know, it's a team that can compete for the Scudetto. I think every team that's ever won the Scudetto, you know, they've always had that big moment in the year where they take a big loss and then they have to bounce back. So you'll see what Napoli's made of this weekend, and you know, hopefully for your sake they can get a big win. And I'm not a big Lazio fan at all, so I'm hoping Napoli win. Moving on for Napoli, there were some really nice games. I don't even know where to start, but that will end the Serie A for us for our whole conversation from match day 13. It's a great match overall. I really enjoyed it. And I'm just happy to say Serie A is back. Because, you know, I like the international break, but at the same time, there's nothing like club football. For me, it's just not comparable. So I'm so happy that the Serie A is back. Now moving on to a different competition, the Champions League. I know everyone missed Champions League, especially. So Inter Shakhtar, we can start with. We can start with Chelsea Juve. You know what? We'll start with Chelsea Juve, because I feel like that one's a big elephant in the room here. We don't have Franchet, so I'm sorry about that. But just to start off here, I know something Franchet said, so I can kind of speak for him. The starting lineup was a big issue, and it has been for Juventus. They played four center mids in one game, and if you're looking at it tactically, I was thinking about this, you know, when I saw the lineup come out. I can kind of see what Allegri was thinking. You know, when you don't have one or two world-class center mids, or not even world-class, just class, when you don't have one or two of them, or three, it's kind of hard to control the tempo of the game and control the midfield. So if you can't control the mid, you can't control the game. And maybe Allegri was thinking, if I put just four of them, then maybe we can control it better and keep possession, but that's not what happened at all. When you put a guy like Rabiot in the left mid position, you know, that takes away a lot of speed on the wing. And I feel like guys like Reece James just ate them alive all game.
Yep.
He almost scored two goals. He had a nice volley where Chesney made a nice big save in the first half. It was a great game to watch. I really enjoyed it. But, yeah, Juventus got ripped apart. I feel like Allegri is kind of bringing back his old ideas, where it may have worked in the past, but I think football is slowly changing to more attacking style, and it's very hard to keep a team quiet for a whole match. Like, you saw today, Milan and Atletico tried getting a draw here. They sat back the whole game, and it bit them in the ass.
Yeah.
If you sit back all game and you end up conceding right at the end, you don't have time to come back after that. It was too late for them.
Especially because they took off, like I know we're getting off track, but especially because Schmeichel took off their main attacking threat in Suarez.
And exactly.
That bit them in the ass, but we'll get into that later on.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I feel like that style of football is kind of dying at the moment. You know, it's very hard to get clean sheets nowadays. And, you know, to sit back the whole game against all this talent that's available in Europe now, it's going to be hard to really, you know, sit back the whole game and not concede at least one goal. So I feel like Allegri's old style of football is really kind of dying a little bit. It will work in some games, but to do it consistently the whole year, it's not going to work. And it shows in the results he has been getting. They really struggled with that. There were a lot of individual errors. I thought McKennie did well, though. I thought Locatelli did well. Chiesa at striker is not it. It's not going to work. He's not a striker at all. I feel like the poor kid's been playing a new position every season. He played as a wing back. He's played as a winger, now a striker. False nine for the Azzurri.
It's part of you to play him goalkeeper a long game.
Yeah, for real. This guy's been everywhere. So just give him one position, and we all know what it is. It's on the wing. I'd like to see him on the left wing, maybe, because, you know, he's very good at cutting in onto his right foot. So I feel like that would be a great position for him to play, and I want to try it out. But yeah, playing Rabiot and McKennie on the left and the right mid position, that's never going to work. And it also comes down to just personnel. They don't have the midfield to really compete against these big teams. And we saw they did beat Chelsea the first time, and they sat back. But, you know, a coach like Tuchel is going to see what they did the first game, watch the tape, and you're not going to do it again. You're not going to sit back and just... I believe Juve had possession in the 20s for the first game, like 28% possession or something like that.
Yeah, it was like 28 or something, yeah.
Yeah, like... and sure, they got the win. But like I said before, you're not going to shut down a team consistently sitting back the whole game. It's not going to happen all
especially
the time.
Especially a
man.
Team like Chelsea, like
exactly.
Very good players, and they got
very talented.
Yeah, talented and
Tuchel
knows how to adjust. Yeah,
exactly. Tuchel definitely adjusted. You saw the film. He said, "Okay, you guys are sitting back. They found the gaps in their midfield, and they completely changed everything around, and they dismantled Juventus." And for Allegri to think that he was going to do the same thing he did in the first game again, that's just arrogant. That's never going to happen. That's just, I don't want to say, but stupid. And obviously, he knows more than me, but, you know, if I can see an issue like that, I'm sure he should have. So, yeah, he's kind of like, I saw someone say on Twitter, dinosaur football, like, it's extinct. Like, this way of football is not going to work all the time. So, do you want to do it occasionally? Sure, why not? Just, you can't do this every game. It's not going to work, and he's getting exposed, and he doesn't seem to have a plan B. So, and I don't want to hear the excuse they don't have the players, which they don't, to win the Champions League. But also instead, yeah, they're doing the same thing. So is it the players? Is it the tactics? Is it a little bit of both? I'd say it's probably, you know, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But, yeah, disappointing from Juventus, and it's just embarrassing on the Serie A, because if you're a team outside of Europe, you see Serie A and, oh, Juventus win every year, they're the best team. And if our best team is lost 4-0, what's that say about the league? It's just embarrassing for us, and that's very disappointing to see that. Although I'm not a Juve fan, and I kind of like them to struggle, 4-0 is a little bit too much. That's just embarrassing for the whole league. And, yeah, just, I really wish it never happened, but it happened, and we'll see how they respond. Dan, any thoughts on this match?
Yeah, no, I just want to just, yeah, I didn't like the way Juve played. I defensively, they looked lost, especially on the third goal where, I believe it was Adoy tapped it home. Great work by Loftus Cheeks, who danced around the Juve's defense like they were pylons and found cut Adoy back post, and Adoy played it in a nice top in. But James's goal was very nice. It was great composure by him. I believe it was Chiesa. He dove in for a tackle, but James just faked it and placed it home. Kind of like Chiesa's goal in the Euros. That's what James's goal was. But give Chelsea a lot of credit. They played well. They did everything to win this game. Juve, again, like Fletcher said best, you said best. I didn't like that midfield heading in. They had, you can kind of say they had four holding midfielders play. And I understand maybe if Allegri thought they were going to control the game, but against a team like Chelsea who have good midfielders, they have N'Golo Kante who can win the ball back any part of the pitch. This guy covers the whole pitch if you had to. Jorginho, who's a very calm midfielder, who's a very composed midfielder. They got Chilwell, who's been having a great season before he got hurt. He was having a great season. Ziyech, who can create. Adoy can create. And then they got Pulisic, who he can create and also score and cause danger for the defenses. So I give Chelsea a lot of credit. Juve, they got to take the negative from this game, implement it in their system for the weekend, and just see what they did right. One thing about the game that's probably positive for Juve fans, Dybala, he came into the game, so maybe we'll see him on the weekend. I feel like that lineup, that team is different when he plays, especially with the likes of Chiesa playing and Malata up top. So we'll see what happens with if he's going to come off the bench. Allegri might need to go back to the 4-3-3 and try to find a new system, try to find some new styles, because this style is not working, the 4-4-2. It seems like every game they play this 4-4-2, they tend to struggle. So we'll see what happens. We'll see if Allegri adjusts, because if he doesn't adjust and he continues to play this 4-4-2 with the guys they have, I don't think he'll make it to the new year, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, I think we both agree on this one, and I'm sure for Chad agrees. I texted him if he wants me to add anything, and yeah, he, I told him I went off on Allegri, and he said I'm proud, so that's all he wanted to hear. Yeah, that wraps up the Juve game. Not much to say. I think the scoreline speaks for itself. And also that game, you know, we had Atalanta who, you know, I might start calling the biggest chokers in Europe because these guys are really starting to piss me off now. Like, I'm not even an Atalanta fan, but if I had to choose for a team in Europe to win, it probably would be Atalanta just because of the story. And, you know, everyone likes an underdog story. But come on, like, I feel like these guys always have a lead and they always blow it. I saw a stat or something that they have the most points lost after having a lead in a Champions League game or something like that. Like, yeah, or they give up the most leads in Champions League or something.
Three straight games, they've blown it in the, like, the last minute or so, the last 10 minutes of the game.
And even last season, the same thing with them. They just keep the can. I don't know what it is. It's so irritating. I don't know if it's Gasperini. I don't know if it's the players getting too comfortable. I don't know if it's both. I don't know what it is. But come on. I understand United, okay. Even though it was a handball, like, you can't blame them. Ronaldo's Ronaldo, whatever. But Young Boys, come on. They're not a bad team. But you're Atalanta. You know, you can't think you're still a small team. These, if you're going to pass your group, a team like Atalanta needs to beat the other small teams in the group to advance. And it's just they're sitting in third place right now. As it stands, they're going to the Europa League. They still have a chance to make it. It's not over yet. But
they need a huge result.
And they need a huge result. And they put themselves in the position. Shout out to Muriel. It could have been a loss. It really could have been a loss. At least they got a draw, but it could have been a loss. But Muriel came in, first touch of the game, scores a banger. And he ran right back to where he was a couple seconds ago, checking in the game. This time he was celebrating. So... credit to Muriel for saving the day, but come on, man, you can't keep conceding all these goals. You can't keep choking. Like, I don't know what to say. Last year, I gave them the benefit of the doubt because, you know, they haven't been in Europe a lot, but come on. Against the Young Boys, there's no excuse. You gotta close out games.
Especially because they have, but once again, it also comes down to their biggest weakness. It's defensively. They're not strong defensively. They're always thinking goals, goals, goals. And at the end of the day, you can score a lot of goals, but you're never guaranteed to win the game if you score a lot because you have to keep the ball out of the net. That's one thing Atalanta hasn't done in the last, say, the last three games, the last, just their weakness is defensively. And defensively, like, that back line, like, I don't know about you, Enz, but that back line doesn't scare me. Especially with the ones they lined up with Demiriel, Toloi, and Palomino. Palomino scored the goal, but they're not strong defensively, and that's what killed them. And especially against Young Boys too, who they don't have many. I don't follow the Swiss league at all, but just looking at their attack, there's not one. Like, I don't even know if these guys are, like, good enough to score against these big teams, but. Against Atalanta, they popped three in, so that tells you something. So that's one thing they got concerned, and I feel like Atalanta, that's one thing they need to improve on. If they do make it somehow out of the group stage and end up going into the knockout stages, I feel like in January they need to bring in a big reinforcement defensively, or else I could see them getting out on round of 16 again.
Yeah, and you know what? I got to say, if they get eliminated, they deserve it. It's their fault, because point... They had this group wrapped up in their own hands, and they blew it over and over and over again. So, you know, I hope they get through. If they don't...
Maybe close to 6 points. Like,
I think I saw a stat they dropped 7 or something.
Something, yeah. Like, it's been the last three games. They've blown it.
Last three games, I believe. It's embarrassing, and if, you know, they don't make it, I won't feel bad at all. I want them to make it, obviously, but at the same time, if they don't, it's their own fault. I can't feel bad.
Because look at their stats here. They scored 10, which is incredible, in 5 games. That's average of 2 goals. But they also give up 2 goals a game, which is not good.
You can't win a game with that.
Where United and Villarreal are in your group. Villarreal's not an easy team. So they got to pick up
a team like Young Boys, you need 6 points against Young Boys. If you're going to pass the group, you need 6 points against Young Boys. So then you can afford to tie a team like United and Villarreal. And you can pass the group with maybe 7-8 points, but if you're not getting these wins over Young Boys, then I'm sorry to tell you, but you're probably not going to pass the group. So they still can, but, you know, they make it hard for themselves every year. It shouldn't have been this hard. They should be already in right now. But, moving on to, you know, the match we got to win this today, Inter-Shakhtar. Inter, they look great, in my opinion. I really like how they played. They countered very well. Yep. Perisic, this guy just on a different planet this year. He's looked incredible, especially today. I really enjoyed watching Perisic just dominate. And, you know, there was a part of his career where he first joined Inter, he looked very good. Then he hit like a little bit of a decline and started, you know,
well, on loan.
Came back, and now this guy's just, he's a menace. He's incredible. He's probably been one of the top players lately. And I've enjoyed watching him. He's having a huge revival of his career at the moment. And he's made some big plays for Inter, and this game was another one. Dzeko, another one. Dzeko wasn't really bad last year, but he missed a lot of chances, and he still does.
He's scoring for fun now, at least this season.
Exactly. When you have a team like Inter that creates so many chances, Dzeko's a striker, like I said a couple months ago when Roma sold him. If you give him 2-3 chances, he probably won't score that game. If you give him 7, he'll probably get 1 or 2. He's a guy that needs a couple, you know, misses before he gets the goal. And Inter created a lot of chances. I think they had 21 shots today attempted. And
I think they had like 5 goals or something, but 3 of them were like ruled out.
Yeah,
2 of them were ruled out.
I think two goals were ruled out. And I was watching it. Inter did well, and it must have been frustrating if those goals ruled off. But you know, they bounced back. They kept their heads, and I really like how they performed. Yeah, just Perisic was just, to me, man of the match. Even though Dzeko had the 2 goals, to me, Perisic was man of the match. Incredible. Handanovic was also had a great game. And just overall, Inter really turned the table around, because, you know, at first they were in the conversation with Milan for being a disappointment, and they really turned things around. So credit to Inter. That Real Madrid loss where they dominated and lost 1-0 could have really, you know, killed them, and, you know, they could have gave up, but they bounced back, and they did it. They're into the next round, and credit to them. And they can still finish first in the group, which will be difficult, but, you know, it's still possible. So hopefully they can pull it off. And, just well done to Inter. I'm really proud of them for representing Italy very well today. They did a very good job. How are you feeling, Dan?
Yeah, no, it was a very good game from Inter. They were the best side by far. I kind of thought it was going to be a closer game. I thought the Zerbi's men were going to show up like they always do against these big teams that play well. But Inter dominated them. I just want to say Brozovic has been very, very good for Inter this season. I think he's been one of the most underrated midfielders in the league.
Very good.
He's been very good. And I know me and you talked about this Sunday, but it seems like Darmian's been playing on a new level this year. He's been playing very good for Inter. He had a strong game today. Dzeko, guy just scores for fun. Perisic seems to be being the Perisic of himself again. He's been very good. Barella had a strong game, but it was just a very strong game from Inter, all aspects of the game. Well done by Inzaghi. I think this was one of the best games he's probably coached in the season. They looked very crisp. They were the better side by far. They got the job done, and it's going to be tough, but they could top the group, like you said, Enz, and we'll see if they do. It's always good if they top the group, because they would most likely avoid, quote-unquote, a big, hard team, unless they draw against PSG. So it's going to be tough for Inter, but I feel like they could top the group, and they just need to perform like they did today.
Yeah, well said, then. And, you know, 2 guys I want to give a shout-out to who, you know, I think do deserve a call up the national team. And it could be debatable. Ranocchia, number 1, this year has been incredible. And, you know, Inter fans, he kind of was a joke. I think he played striker that 1 game, 2 under Spalletti, it might have been. There was 1 game where he played striker for Inter a couple of years ago. And I feel like Ranocchia is one player that just, you know, he's kind of like a meme in a way. But he's actually done really well for Inter. He's been Mr. Reliable. And, you know, he could be better than Acerbi. I don't know. I'd favor him over Acerbi at this moment. And if I'm Mancini, I know he's 33 years of age, but he's been reliable for Inter. And we've seen Italy, you know, they struggled. They have Bastoni, but Mancini really doesn't seem to trust him. And, you know, if Chiellini's out, beside Bonucci, I wouldn't mind seeing Ranocchia. And another one is Darmian. Why doesn't he get called up? Di Lorenzo, we saw his struggles with the national team. Emerson is horrendous. I take that back. Not horrendous. He's just He's not a star. He's a good backup. He makes a little too many mistakes and just positionally. But I feel like Darmian and then either Di Lorenzo or Calabria need to be the fullback to his team until Spina's back. Yeah. I really like to see Darmian get called up.
I wouldn't be surprised if in March, if he's called up. I wouldn't at all.
Yeah, definitely.
That's for me. I think it's personally, I would call him up as a left back. Because he can play both sides of the field on the pitch. I know he was more of a right back, but he can also play left back. He's played there before and in the past. But also, too, say you knock on wood, one of those guys like Di Lorenzo or Calabria isn't able to get called up, or if they're just in poor form and Mancini needs to change up, I wouldn't be surprised if Darmian gets called up. Because he's been playing good as of late. Even ever since he's moved from Parma to Inter, he's been playing really well.
Yeah, he's been doing really well, and I feel bad for him too, because people, just when you say Darmian, what do you think of? You think of someone who's over the hill.
Yeah.
You think of United, you think of injuries, you think of Parma, reject, you think of all these things, but just put it aside. Just look at him for what he's done this year. He's been incredible for Inter.
I know 31, he's still quite young for a right back.
Yeah, 31's not old at all. I think people over-exaggerate with age nowadays. Like, once you hit 30, you're an old man.
Like 31, right back. Like, some of the best players in history were older, and they were having great seasons.
And look at our Azzurri team. Kevin Hill is that guy, 100, and look what he did for that in Euros.
I think Dani Alves,
38.
He's 38. He's playing for Barcelona right now. Yeah. I think at the time where he had that great season, I think he was around 20, like between the ages of 29 and 31. So still time for Damian, and I feel like he could be called up, and he would be someone like I wouldn't be surprised if he is called up.
And for me, I would
take
him up,
no offense to anyone who likes Florenzi. I would take Damian over Florenzi for the national team.
No, 100%, I would too.
At this moment, at this time, I would.
Easily. And people need to remember, the national team's not a club. If you're, let's say, Napoli, Roma, or another club, whatever, you're not going to sign Darmian because he's 31. This is a national team. You don't need to keep the guy around. If you need him for a couple international breaks, and then whenever he starts playing poorly, who cares? But if he's playing good right now, call him up. It's not a club. You don't need to pay a fee for potential. Say, oh, this guy's young. He can be. Who cares about age for the national team? If someone's doing good in form right now, the international team's all about form.
Look at the players they're thinking about calling up. Joao Pedro, guy's like, 32?
Yeah, exactly. But he's reliable.
I think he's 30. And he's reliable. He scores. Yeah.
So,
like,
who cares? Like, whoever's in form, you call up. It's not a club. You don't need to worry about, this guy's too old. Like, they play, 2-3 games a break? Who cares? Yeah. If they're in good form, call them up. They called up Caputo when he was in good form.
And then, Ed, it goes back to what we were discussing last time. Why don't they call up Buffon?
Yeah, call Buffon. He's there for a change room.
Even though he's 43, the guy's playing well for Parma. It's always Buffon at the end of the day. The guy is, I will say, I don't care. I'll say he's the best goalie of all time. Call him up. Why not? Who cares? Oh, but he's retired. You think Buffon won't say, I'm coming out of retirement just to help the Azzurri win one last trophy? He'll do that in a heartbeat.
Exactly. And like I said, you don't need to keep these guys around. If they start playing poorly, it's not like you sign them to your club. They're not going to be here under contract making $4 million. It's a national team. Next international break, you can get rid of them. Who cares? So if they're good right now, call them up.
One of our best players at the Euros was 38 years old, 36 years old maybe. Chiellini, he was one of our best players, and he's an older player.
Yeah,
Bonucci's an older player.
International break is you need to win right now, and during that break, whoever's the best available, you take. That's how it should be. You shouldn't be looking at a potential for the international team. Unless you're going playing friendlies or whatever, that makes sense. Okay, if you're playing knockout games like the World Cup, playoffs. We need to get to the World Cup. Play who's good right now.
Play the best. So hopefully, Damian can continue to play at that level, because I wouldn't mind seeing him on the national team at all.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sorry we got off topic there, but I know something on my mind. I talked to Danny at our men's league game on Sunday about Darmian.
I'm sure you would say the same thing. I know Darmian, he hasn't been good, but he's been, I gotta give him a lot of credit. He's been proving a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And Yeah, shout out to him, and hopefully even on Nokia or something like that. Just, you know, call these guys up. Whoever's good in March at the time, whoever's informed, call them up. We need people who are informed. We don't need, no offense to Raspadori, I think he's a good player, but we don't need Raspadori in March. What's he going to do for us? Get someone who's good right now. So, yeah, that's the end of our rant there about that Azzurri. But, yeah, hopefully Mancini can look into that. And the final game we're going to speak on here, Atletico Milan. We kind of, you know, brought it up a little bit here and there before, but Atletico, you know, we all know what they're known for, anti-football. They're at home at the Wanda. You'd think that, you know, they'd want to, you know, show Milan what a boss is and, you know, kind of put impose their will on them and put them away and, you know, finish them off. That's not what happened. They played scared and they played, you know, the, I like Simeone, to be honest. No, he gets a lot of hate. I do. I think he's a winning manager. You know, he knows how to win. But at the same time, kind of like Allegri, his way is kind of dying at the moment. His way of football, defensive football is just going downhill. People are, you know, they're too creative, these coaches now. The players are too quick and too athletic. They know how to score now, these players. And it's going to be hard for clean sheets to, you know, happen all the time. Kind of like in hockey, obviously, the shutouts happen every once in a while. Soccer, I think eventually one day will be like that. How, you know, clean sheets are going to come every weekend. And more and more, we're seeing less and less clean sheets. So, to sit back the whole game is not the right strategy to do, like, to impose against Milan, especially when you need to remember they have a guy named Tiramisu in net. Like, the guy is 50 years old. They don't have, like, take get shots on that attack. I mean, Milan right now, I don't know if you heard, I'm washing my hands. They're on the ropes right now. If you're in a boxing match, finish them off. If you're Atletico, you need to attack them.
I agree. Because Milan are, I don't want to use the word, they're desperate to make it. And they're just going to throw the whole kitchen sink, the whole kitchen now. I don't care about the kitchen sink. They're going to throw everything they have in their kitchen just to try to get to the knockout stages. So
yeah, exactly.
I didn't like the tactic. I didn't like, especially because Liverpool, I think they already clinched the group.
Yeah, they did.
And just because like they already clinched the group, so I wouldn't play that anti-football just relying on Liverpool, just because Porto can easily gone in there and got the win, and it would have made the group a lot more tougher than what it is now.
Yeah, a lot tougher for themselves. And yeah, I gotta credit Milan for, you know, staying patient and eventually finding the back of that, because I believe if you play the right way, good things will happen to you, and that's what happened to them. They kept playing the right way. They kept trying to, you know, impose their will away from home, and which is not easy to play at the Wanda. It's not hard. I mean, it's not easy at all to play there, actually. It's a very tough environment. And this Milan team, who was shorthanded, came in, and they got the win. And a great story for Messias Jr. I think I mentioned him a couple of times in the past and when he went to Milan. I'm a big fan of how this guy plays. I know he's not the quote-unquote sexy name to have. You know, he's not this young, up-and-coming kid. I'm sure people who don't know who he is probably searched up his age after the game to see, oh, is this guy like an up-and-coming wonder kid from Brazil? No, he's just a guy who works hard and plays well, and he's a team player. You know, he doesn't get a lot of playing time, but he still gives 100%, and that's what you need for a team, because it's a team sport at the end of the day.
Very touching backstory, if you guys know about it. He was playing amateur football for the longest time. Moved to Italy 4 years ago, playing in like their fourth tier, and then got promoted with Crotone, played with Crotone, had a very good season his first year, moved to Milan this past year. I don't think he really got much playing time this season. I can't remember recalling hearing his name until today, really. But very, took a very important goal for him. He even said in the interview that I think he did cry, but he was like, he had so much emotion in his body. He let it out, but very, very cool to see. I'm not a Milan fan at all, but it was very nice to see him score. I actually like the player. He's a very good player. And he's 30 years old. So it's like, oh wow. Like he's up there, but he got the goal, very important goal for Milan, because now it sets up a huge last match day. And what a ball by Kessié, though. Like, that was a peach of a ball. He had a very strong game. Tonali, he played pretty well. Defensively, Milan looked pretty strong. And, again, it just comes down to Atletico playing, not, I don't like the word anti-football, but just very defensive, like the typical Simeone way. Almost worked, but Junior Macias popped in the goal last minute. Beautiful header, being All Black, who was rooted to the spot, and came from a beautiful ball from Kessie. So now this sets up a very, very important last match day for Milan, who they play in. They play Liverpool, I should say. And Liverpool, who knows what lineup they're going to put out. They already clinched the group. They can't even move to second. So we'll see what lineup they put out, and it's going to be very, very interesting on match day 6 for the Champions League.
Yeah, and one more thing to touch on with Allegri and Simeone and the way they play, I just remembered something. You guys need to remember, Mourinho, what does he play? Anti-football, people say, right? Mourinho, anti-football. He changed his ways, realized that soccer, or football, or college, whatever you want to call it, it's not what it used to be, where you just sit back and get a win. He changed his ways, yeah. And maybe it doesn't show in the standings, but, you know, if you look into the deep analytics right now, Roma have, I think, the second or third most shots on target in Europe and chances created. And also, I think Roma have the highest expected goals in Serie A. So if our players finish our chances, we'd be first place right now. So it's not Mourinho's fault we're in the spot, but that shows you an intelligent coach like Mourinho understood, hey, I can't sit back anymore. These guys are going to attack me. You know, I don't have the team for that. And what did he do? He changed his way of football. And now Roma are a pretty attacking team. And we saw Roma-Napoli. It was a very back-and-forth game. It was a fun game to watch. And yeah, Mourinho changed his ways. And I don't know when Allegri and Simeone will, you know, maybe consider changing, I don't know, maybe five at the back constantly, just parking the bus. Even though the formation doesn't say five at the back, it always tends to turn into one at some point in the game.
I figured they had 11 at the back at one point.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. That was just my quick thought on that. They got to evolve. It's almost impossible to do a mid-season. It won't happen now, but in the summer, you know, I don't think Allegri's a bad coach. If you sack him, he's just idiotic. Give him a summer to, you know, change his way of football. I think he needs to understand that that's not how you play now. Mourinho is a very intelligent coach. I think he's one of the winningest managers of all time, and he changed it. So.
Yeah, I don't think he will be sacked, Allegri. I know, off a little ramble. I know I said earlier that if he doesn't change, maybe he could be sacked, but it's Juve at the end of the day. We'll see what they do. You can't really sack them mid-season because it just proves nothing unless they're 12th place, they're losing every game, they're like getting blown out by teams that they shouldn't be getting blown out by. But I feel like these coaches, they'll probably learn in the summer, like, okay, you know what, depending on what happens in their respective leagues and the competitions, maybe they'll change into more of attacking football, but that takes years and years of practice, so fans have to be patient. But like you said, and like Mourinho, he used to play a lot of defensive football, changed it, and now Roma, on stat wise, they have a lot. They're creating a lot more chances. They're creating more shots on target and stuff. So it'll be, and I'm very interested to see that stat actually, because I want to see where Napoli ranks.
I think he has a second right behind us in Serie A.
I wouldn't be surprised if we were like first in shots in the league. We take shots from our own goal at times.
Yeah, I remember seeing Napoli up there. So, you got to change your way.
I think we lead in Europe. I think we lead Europe in most post hits. So.
Yeah, 100%. I think we were there at once. I think Tammy's hit 7 posts this season on his own. In the city, our competition. So.
And I lost count on how many posts and crossbars we've hit in the last 4 years.
Yeah, it's been an unlucky season. That's just my thought. And also, if you look at the starting lineup against Chelsea, the only player that was just brought in during the Allegri era was Locatelli. Everyone else is not his player that he bought.
No.
Obviously, Bonucci, whatever, Sandro, he's coached him before, but he also hasn't coached him in a couple of years. It's very different when he's come in. They're new players now. They're not the same people they once were. And, yeah, the only signing that really started the game was Locatelli. And you also have to keep in mind, Ronaldo left when the season already started. So that's another shock. Losing a player of that importance to a team changes everything.
If he were left earlier, I feel like Allegri would have brought in more players that fit his system, fit the way he wanted to play. And who knows, maybe in January they will. Yeah. Bring in a few guys.
And that's why Chiesa is playing striker, because he's missing something. He's trying to find a recipe that's going to work, but it's hard when a player of that importance leaves your team out of nowhere. So Yeah, is he playing anti-football? And I don't know if anti-football, like you said, but is he playing ugly football or dinosaur football, you can call it, people are saying? Yes.
I think it's more...
But also doesn't have his players. Yeah.
Doesn't have a team to really do much.
Exactly. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this kind of football works, just the players he has doesn't work for the football. Maybe if you give him a summer and he brings in the players he wants and he plays the same way, maybe it'll work. Maybe he'll win the Scudetto. I could be wrong, but... yeah, you just have to keep those things in mind. That this guy only had one new player in the starting lineup that actually was signed under him. So, yeah, a lot of talking points this podcast. It was a fun one. We got more tactical than usual, but, you know, there's a couple of games that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and I've been waiting to talk about them. But, yeah, that wraps up our games. Obviously, Napoli felt was it Spartak Moscow today?
Yeah, no, I don't don't want to talk about it because we could be here until currently it's 12:08.
Yeah.
I will be here until 4 a.m. So I really don't want to talk about those that team. I was gonna say something about them, but it's nothing bad. I just didn't. I don't like what they've been doing on social media, but at the end of the day, they've been doing that for the last 4 years. So I think we'll see who gets the last laugh on match day six.
Definitely, that'll be it for the podcast. If you enjoyed. Well, there's no like button, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. And check out our social media at SixSideCouch on both Instagram and Twitter. We'll be back next week with some more Serie A recap. And yeah, ciao.
See you guys.